And at, up to that moment, Ibrahim alayhi salam had no children. He reached the age of 80, no believers, no children, leading a lonely life. He's patient, sabr. Sarah told Ibrahim alayhi salam that you can have Hajar as a wife. Sarah is the one who gave Ibrahim the permission. So Ibrahim married Hajar with the hope that they would have a child. And then Ibrahim was given the bishara of Ghulam Halim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described Ismail alayhi salam with Hilm, which is mild and gentle and forbearing. While Ishaq alayhi salam has been described in Quran as alim, knowledgeable. So the ayat that say ghulam halim, a forbearing, mild, gentle child, are talking about Ismail. And the ayat that say ghulam alim, a knowledgeable child, are the ayat talking about Ishaq alayhi salam. There's an interesting verse in the Bible that I want to recite to you, because it not only gives the glad tidings of Ismail, but it goes even further. This verse in the Bible is in Genesis 17:20. It says, And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. So the Bible is saying that Ismail is blessed, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will multiply his children, and his children are the Arabs. And 12 princes, out of the descendants of Ibrahim, will be 12 princes. There is a hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, there will be on this ummah 12 khulafa, all of them are from Quraysh. 12. And Quraysh are from the direct descendants of Ismail alayhi salam. And this verse in the Bible is talking about 12 princes, and the 12 princes are 12 khulafa. 4 of them already passed: Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali. Some would include Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. For sure we know about the 4, and then Al-Mahdi is one also, and there are a few others left. Not only is the Bible giving us the glad tidings of Ismail, but it's also talking about the 12 khulafa that will rule on this ummah. If we have only 4 or 5 or 6 of the khulafa that passed, we have more than half left. And that's the good news for this ummah. In Fath al-Bari, the commentary of al-Bukhari by Imam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, he says that when Ibrahim carried his young child and Hajar in their hijrah, Ismail was about 2 years old of age. Ibrahim alayhi salam commanded his wife Hajar to accompany him in a long trip. So they started this long traveling, Ibrahim and his wife Hajar and their young child, Ismail. And then suddenly in the middle of nowhere, desert, dry, barren, infertile desert. No settlement, no people, no houses, no villages, nothing. In the middle of nowhere, Ibrahim stopped. And he told his wife Hajar and her son to stay there. And he left with them a sack filled with dates, and he left with them some water. Hajar couldn't believe what's happening. How could we be left over here in the middle of nowhere? Desert. So she followed Ibrahim alayhi salam. Are you going to leave us here? Who are you going to leave us with? There's no plants, there's no people, there's nothing. Who are you going to leave us with? And Ibrahim is not answering. And he's walking away. He didn't even look back. And she repeated the question, who are you going to leave us with? He's walking away. She's following him. Ibrahim, how are you going to leave us here? There's nothing here. There's no people. And Ibrahim is completely ignoring her and not even looking back. Then finally she asked him a question. She said, is this a commandment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Finally, Ibrahim alayhi salam responded and said, yes. Sayyidatna Hajar said, idhan lan yudayya'ana Allah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not neglect us. That's it. She didn't talk with him further. Allah told you to do this? Yes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of us. He will not neglect us. This is the iman of this mother, Hajar, the mother of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is her iman. She's in the desert, dry desert. No one is there. She doesn't even have enough food. All what she has is dates and water. Something that we would complain about if we're told to live on for one day, not to make a living off water and dates. And her husband is leaving her alone, a helpless mother. Hajar sat down. She would breastfeed him and she would eat from that dates, drink from the water, until she ran out of dates and ran out of water and ran out of milk. Now Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam is crying and weeping. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described him and said, يَتَلَوَّى. He was curling. Ismail was curling on himself because of the hunger. And he was hitting the ground with his feet. And he was crying as if he was dying. At that moment, Hajar could not sit down any further. Even though there's nowhere to go, but she couldn't handle seeing her child dying in front of her eyes. So she went on top of a mountain that was close to her. She climbed that mountain. And that mountain is As-Safa. And she looked from top of the mountain if she can see anyone. She saw no one. She ran down she walked down the mountain, and then she ran through the valley, and then she climbed another mountain. The name of that mountain is Al-Marwa. And she got to the top of the mountain, looking around if she can see anyone. She saw no one. So she walked down the mountain, ran through the valley, climbed on As-Safa again. And she kept on doing that for 7 times. And that is the sunnah of Sayyidatina Hajar that we are doing today in Hajj. Every one of us is making that sa'i. Subhanallah, Sayyidatina Hajar at that moment was afraid, had fear in her heart. She was running with worry. If she knew what will happen, she would be climbing those mountains with a big smile on her face. If she knew that the nations of the world, millions and millions of them, are going to follow her tracks and follow her sunnah and follow her way, she would be making that trip with a big smile on her face. And this is the rizq that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to you from the doors that you don't expect. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. If you have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide for you rizq from places you never expect. When she got on top of Al-Marwa, and that's the end of the 7th shoot, the 7th climbing, she heard a voice. So she said, "Sah." Quiet. Who's she speaking to? She's speaking to herself, out of confusion. She's telling herself, be quiet. And then she's trying to listen. She heard a voice again. She said, لَقَدْ أَسْمَعْتَ إِنْ كَانَ لَدَيْكَ غَوَاثِ. If you have any help, I'm able to hear you. Where are you? And then she looked around to see in the spot where Ismail alayhi salam was laying down, the child, the 2-year-old child, the helpless child, the child that is crying, helpless. She saw an angel, leader of the angels, Jibreel alayhi salam, descended specially to that spot where Ismail alayhi salam was laying down. And the angel started picking up the dirt with his wing or with his foot until water started flowing from the ground. Rizq of Allah. Rizq of Allah that came for a helpless child. So she came down, Sayyidatina Hajar. This water of Zamzam came out through divine will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A commandment to the angel Jibreel. When the water was coming out with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidatina Hajar intervened by making a pool around the water. Because this water was coming out in a desert. So she thought that this water is gonna flow on the sand and go in the earth and she's not gonna see it. She intervened and she started saying zam, 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 zam. And she's collecting dirt around it to make a pool. Rasulullah ﷺ says, if Hajar would have left it alone, it would have been a flowing river. She intervened in it. If she would have left it alone, it would have been a flowing river. But she intervened, and it became the well of Zamzam. Now Sayyidatna Hajar has water, but she doesn't have food, and she doesn't have company. So she still needs the social needs and psychological needs. There was a tribe called Jurhum, an Arab tribe, Bedouins, traveling in that area. They saw in the sky birds hovering. Birds in the desert means water. They said, we know that there's no water over there, so what are these birds doing? فَأَرْسَلُوا جَرْيًا أَوْ جَرْيَيْنَ. And this, all of this that I'm mentioning to you is from a long hadith in Bukhari. So they sent one or two men to go and investigate. So the men went rushing. They came back with the good news that there is water in the middle of the desert. This group of Jurhum, they moved towards the source of water and they came there, they arrived there to find this woman and her child. So they asked a strange question and they got an even stranger answer. Their question was, would you allow us to camp here? Would you allow us to camp here? What is strange about this? These are a group of men, fighters, in the middle of the desert, taking permission from a woman and her child. If they wanted, they could have eliminated her with a move of a hand. With a strike of a sword, she could have been over with. But they were very noble. So they came and asked her that strange question, would you give us permission to stay here? Because in the desert, if you have water, that's where you want to be. And they got a strange answer. She said, yes, but you have no rights in the water. The water belongs to us. And what's strange about that answer? The strange thing about it is that she is in no position to negotiate and bargain. And she is nevertheless saying, you have no right in the water. If you want to stay here, you have to stay on our terms. The water belongs to us. But they accepted. They said, yes, we agree. And that is how Jurhum came to stay in that area. And that is the beginning of the settlement. Now let me go back. When Ibrahim alayhi salam left Hajar and her son in that spot, Ibrahim walked away until he got to a thaniya and he made dua for them. It's not easy for a father, very old, to leave his only son and his wife in the middle of nowhere. It's not easy. We do not feel safe leaving our families alone in settled, established, secure areas. It wasn't easy for Ibrahim to leave. So he stopped and made dua to Allah because that is who we seek help from. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. We seek help from no one but Allah. And he made a dua. What was the dua of Ibrahim? He said,
رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِن ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ عِندَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ فَاجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ فَاجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ وَارْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ.
Oh Allah, I have left my descendant, my family, in a valley that is barren and dry, infertile, no rain, no trees can grow in that place. Why? لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, so that they may establish prayer. In that moment of difficulty, in that moment which we would naturally think about the safety and the food and the drink of my child and my wife, Ibrahim alayhi salam is thinking about salah. Something similar to it, because the Sahaba are trained under the head of the Anbiya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was talking about the Dajjal, and Rasulullah said that the Dajjal will remain among you for 40 days, one day is equal to a year, one day is equal to a month, and then one day is equal to a week, and then the rest of the days are like your regular days. So one day is equal to a year. The Sahaba had a question about that. One day is equal to a year. What do you think their question was? I mean, Rasulullah is talking about the big fitna of the Dajjal, and he's talking about a day that is equal to a year. What is the thought that came on the minds of the Sahaba? They said, هَلْ تَكْفِينَ فِيهِ صَلَاةَ يَوْمٍ. Is it enough for us to pray in that day like the prayer of one day? The Sahaba are thinking about Salah in the time of Ad-Dajjal. Rasulullah is talking about Ad-Dajjal and the fitna of Ad-Dajjal, and the Sahaba are thinking about Salah. Anyway, Ibrahim said, لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ, so that they would establish prayer. And then he made the dua of the other needs. We're not saying we don't seek assistance from Allah to give us rizq, no. We don't say that we don't seek assistance from Allah to provide for us from dunya, no. We ask Allah for that. But we have to give good, right proportion. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً. We ask Allah for dunya and we ask Allah for akhirah. So Ibrahim mentioned the duty of Islam, and that is the establishment of salah. And then he said, فَجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ وَرُزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّمْ يَشْكُرُونَ. So make flocks of people, love them and come to them, and provide from them fruits. Subhanallah, that dua that was done in the desert, in the empty desert. Look at the fulfillment of the dua of Ibrahim. People are coming from all over the world to that place. There's no place in the world that is more loved than Mecca. Because of the attraction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in that house. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given an amazing description to the house of Allah. Allah says, جَعَلْنَا الْبَيْتِ مَثَابَةً لِلنَّاسِ. مَثَابَة, when the young camel goes to play, after it plays for a while, it has to go back and see its mother. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the house of Allah is mathaba. You go there, you get stuck. The love of the house of Allah enters your heart, and then when you leave there, when you leave from Mecca, you're always homesick. You want to go back and see Kaaba again. And that is something that many people describe. They say that when we see Kaaba for the first time, then that's it. We're hooked to it and we can't leave it for a long time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts the love of this house in the hearts of men. A fulfillment of the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So the people of Jurhum, they stayed there. And they raised up Ismail and they taught him the Arabic language. Because Ibrahim was not an Arab, neither was Ismail. They were from Mesopotamia, Iraq, the Chaldeans. Jurhum, they taught Ismail the Arabic language because he grew up with them. So he learned the Arabic language. فَأَنْفَسَهُمْ, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they adored him. They loved him so much. They married him, one of their daughters, and he lived with them. The mother passed away, Hajar. And then Ibrahim alayhi salam would make some visits. Ibrahim alayhi salam is traveling always. So he visited Mecca, and he came to the house of Ismail alayhi salam, and he knocked the door. So his wife opened the door. Ibrahim said, where is your husband? She said, he's not here. So Ibrahim asked her, how is your living? She said, miserable. We're having a miserable life. And she complained. Our food is not good. Our water is murky and thick and dirty, salty. So Ibrahim alayhi salam said, أقرئي مني السلام وقولي له يغير عتبة الباب. Deliver my salams to him. He didn't even tell her who he is. He said, deliver my salam to him and tell him to change his doorstep. Ismail came home and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, as if he felt something, subhanAllah, he felt it. He felt that his father was there. He didn't see him and his wife, he didn't even say. And he asked his wife, did anybody visit us? She said, yes. An old man came and he asked about you. And he told me to deliver salam to you and to tell you to change your doorstep. Ismail said, that was my father and he's ordering me to separate from you. You're the doorstep. So go back home. And he divorced her. People of Jurham, they loved Ismail so much, they married him another wife. Ibrahim made another trip a while later, knocked the door, Ismail wasn't there, so he asked the same questions to the wife. He said, tell me about your living. She said, Alhamdulillah, the best living. And she praised the lifestyle that they're leading, the simple lifestyle that they were leading, she praised it. She was happy and content. Mar'a saliha, righteous woman. So Ibrahim wanted to get more details. He said, what food do you eat? She said, we eat meat. What do you drink? Water. That's all what they used to have, meat and water. No desserts, no appetizers, no side dish. Meat and water only. So he made dua for them and said, oh Allah, give them blessing in their food. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says they did not have grains at that time. They did not know wheat and barley. If they had it, he would have made dua for them to bless them. To bless it for them, but he didn't have it at that time. But he made dua to Allah to bless for them their food. And then he said, when your husband comes back, I deliver my salam to him and tell him to keep the doorstep. So Ismail came back, he said, did anybody visit us? He said, yes, an old man came and he's delivering you salam and he's saying, keep your doorstep. He said, that's my father, you are the doorstep, and my father is telling me to keep you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Rabbi habli min as-salihin. This is a dua that Sayyidina Ibrahim made. Rabbi habli min as-salihin. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me a righteous offspring. Ibrahim alayhi salam reached to over 80 years old. And he didn't have any offspring. Didn't have any children. And he didn't ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide him with children per se, but he said, min as-salihin. He has to be righteous. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me a righteous offspring. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
فَبَشَّرْنَاهُ بِغُلَامٍ حَلِيمٍ.
We gave him the glad tidings of a child which is halim. And halim is gentle and mild and forbearing. These are the akhlaq of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam. And Ismail grew up away from his father in Mecca, as we mentioned. And then when Ismail reached to the age in which he can go out with his father, in the age in which he became an adult and is able to take responsibilities for himself, this age which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Quran, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعْهُ السَّعِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and when his son was old enough to walk with him, old enough to walk with him, means that Ismail alayhi salam has grew up and now is able to take care of himself. And he's able to take responsibilities. And that is when the father starts seeing himself in his son. When your son is a child, you raise him up. But when your son is an adult, then you see the continuation of your life in him. And that is the age which Ismail alayhi salam reached. When Ismail started to go out with his father, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam saw a dream. Sayyidina Ibrahim saw a dream. And we know that the dreams of the Anbiya are wahi. In that dream, Sayyidina Ibrahim was slaughtering his own son.
فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعْيَ قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أذبحك فانظر ماذا ترى.
Oh my son, I see in my dream that I am sacrificing you. فانظر ماذا ترى. What do you think? What is your response? Ibrahim, he will fulfill the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no doubt. But he didn't go and Ismail is in his sleep and suddenly sacrifice his son. No, he told Ismail, he said, this is the dream that I saw. Tell me, what do you think? The answer of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam should be studied deeply and taken seriously by the society that we live in. This society that gives no rights to the parents, in which the children have no morals in the way they deal with their parents. In a society that would give rights to everyone, even to the perverted, but it would give no rights to the parents. In a society where the state has more authority over your children than you do. This response of Sayyidina Ismail needs to be studied very carefully. Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam said,
قَالَ يَا أَبَتِ افْعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرُ سَتَجِدُنِي إِن شَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ.
O my father, do what you are commanded to do. If a parent would tell his child to provide for him, the son or the daughter won't. And in the end of their life, they're dumped in an elderly house. And Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam is giving the most valuable thing that he has, and that is his life. It's not a matter of providing for his father material provisions or taking care of some needs of his father. He's giving his father his life. He's giving away his life. And again, I say that's important to study by us, the Muslims, because we are living in a society that gives no rights. The only group that have no rights are the parents. They have no rights whatsoever. They are a disposable thing. They just raise up the children, they bear them, and they take care of them, and they work for them, and they sacrifice for them. And then, when the children reach the age of 18, they have no obligation whatsoever towards these parents. And that is by law. The parent cannot take anything from their children after they reach the age of 18. By law, nothing. The child does not have to obey, does not have to provide, does not have to take care, because it's an individualistic society. And it's affecting the Muslims. It's affecting us because we borrow from the environment we live in. Sayyidina Ismail said, do whatever you are commanded to do. If'al ma tu'mar, do whatever you're told to do. Whatever Allah commanded you to do, do it. And then he said, سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ. You will find me of those who are patient, inshallah. He didn't say you will find me patient, because we cannot guarantee our actions. We have no guarantee over what we're going to do this moment, let alone in the future. Everything that we do, we need to realize that it's tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the one who made it accessible for us. And that is why we don't say that we're going to do it and put an end to it that way. No, we say we're going to do it inshallah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to assist us in doing so. And that is why in every salah we say, اِهْدِنَا الصَّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Guide us to the straight path. It's you who will guide us. Without your help, we cannot do anything. Without your help, we cannot worship you. And that's why we need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every good deed that we do. And then we need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because He allowed us to thank Him. ستجدني إن شاء الله من الصابرين. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ.
Then when they both submitted themselves and he had laid him on his forehead. The position Ismail was in, he was laying on the ground and his father was holding the knife over his neck. When they were in that position, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described it as follows.
فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ.
When they both submitted. And the word أَسْلَمَا, and Islam come from the same root. The root of the word aslama and Islam is the same thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that Ismail and Ibrahim, they submitted. When they were in that position, they were submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is Islam. Because Islam is submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You fulfill the commandments of Allah, even if it's against your will, even if it's against your desires, even if it's against what you like. Nobody would want to slaughter his son. And no son would want his life to be taken away. But they're doing it as a form of worship, ibadah, and that is Islam. Submission. This is the meaning of Islam. فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ When they were in that position, Ibrahim alayhi salam had the knife on the neck of Ismail. And he started to pass the knife over his neck. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Ibrahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَنَادَيْنَاهُ أَنْ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا
You have fulfilled the dream. You have fulfilled it. The dream is fulfilled. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him,
إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ الْبَلَاءُ الْمُبِينُ
Verily, that indeed was a manifest trial. It was a test for you. And you have passed the test. Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala need the blood of Ismail? Does Allah need the flesh of Ismail? Does Allah need the life of Ismail? Allah doesn't need it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ
Verily, that indeed was a manifest trial, and we ransomed him with a great sacrifice. It was a test from Allah. Allah does not need the blood. Allah does not need the flesh. Allah does not need to take away the life of Ismail alayhi salam. This was a test, and they both passed in the test. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded Ibrahim alayhi salam with the sacrifice, a ram. Look at the results of taqwa. It was an action of taqwa that Ibrahim alayhi salam did. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded him for it. And now we sacrifice in Eid al-Adha and al-Hadi in al-Hajj every year following the sunnah of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam was told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or actually the ayat say,
وَتَرَكْنَا عَلَيْهِ فِي الْآخِرِينَ سَلَامٌ عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمُ
And we left for him among generations in later times, salam. After this event happened, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we left salam for Ibrahim in the generations to come. And what is the present representation of that? What is the representation of the salam on Ibrahim? How is that manifested? It is in the tashahud that we do in every salah. The tashahud that we do in every salah. We make salah and salam on Ibrahim and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in every salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَرَكْنَا عَلَيْهِ فِي الْآخِرِينَ سَلَامٌ عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمٌ And we left for him in the generations to come, peace on Ibrahim. We're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant Ibrahim peace in every salah. Millions and millions of believers all over the world, throughout generations, five times a day and more, are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant Ibrahim alayhi salam peace. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam.
For further information, please contact Al-Bashir Publications and Translations at 1-877-745-3330. Or 303-574-0095. Our fax number is 303-373-0943 or visit our website at www.albashir.com. That's www.al-bashier.com. You can also write to our address at 10515 East 40th Avenue, Suite 108, Denver, Colorado, 80239-3264. All rights reserved for Al-Bashir Company for publications and translations. No part of this series may be reproduced in any form without written permission from the publisher. Unlawful reproductions may prevent Muslim businesses from further producing quality programs. Your consideration is greatly appreciated. Jazakumullahu khairan. Please proceed to the next CD.